Morning, everyone. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. It's a beautiful day to gather and worship. This week, probably a lot of our minds went to what happened 20 years ago, and I still remember when you think of 9/11, and I still remember I was in seventh grade, and when my teacher got the call that the first plane had hit, and he had a sister-in-law that worked close there, and so he heard about it right away, and you know, the world was brought to a halt for a little bit in a lot of people's minds. You know, it's 20 years since American Airlines Flight 11 at 8:46, and then I believe it was a United flight. The second one crashed a few minutes later, and those two planes carried much destruction and death with them, and over the next couple days, some 5,000 men, women, and children were killed. And in that, there was 343 members of the New York City Fire Department that lost their lives, and of the police and other, there was 500 total, I believe it was. There was a lot of loss, a lot of, you know, out of the rubble of something like that, there's a lot of stories of bravery and, you know, things that people did that were selfless. And there's many memorials set up today. And as I thought of that, as I remember in the following weeks, the U.S. tends to be very patriotic compared to Canada. And I remember, especially where I grew up, there was a large naval or a military base there. And of course, because of that, lots of family and whatnot involved. You see a lot of, the people supported the military very much. And I remember the throngs of people, and I remember going to watch as plane loads of young men boarded and headed out, and many of them never came home. But they went to serve their country, they said. They went to bring us freedom, because the whole world was, or the whole America, I must say, was scared. There was fear. Everyone was worried. There was a war. They weren't sure what was happening. These terrorists were striking from the back, they said. And I guess what I want to take, you know, if you go there to where the Twin Towers stood today, there's a large memorial thing there. It's beautiful. It's something there to remind us of what happened. And in one corner, there's a large thing. It says, "Lest We Forget." And it has lots of names, I think all of them, or what they know of the names of people that died there. And there's many other things to see and hear and do there. And that's probably the most famous memorial. Another one that's very famous is in Guthrie, Oklahoma. The Bible Baptist Church took a couple acres and landscaped and cleared it, and they set up 5,000 crosses, one for each person lost there. And thousands of people, I don't know if they still do, but they visited there. And they came to pray. And, you know, I often thought about that as many people that had totally quit going to church. They totally disrespected God in their lives. All of a sudden, God meant something. All of a sudden, prayer was worth something. Many people dusted off their Bibles and went to church. The little church there in our local town, there used to only be two or three cars there every Sunday, and after that it was full. There was cars lined up in the streets. People were coming to church again. People were praying. And whatever all it did to the nation, it definitely made people think about God. You know, there was we could talk about it all day long, and I don't want to, but I was thinking about that, and I thought about our own Christian life and what we could learn from that. And there's a couple points we're going to go through. I don't have them in the right order, but the first thing I want to think about is we have an enemy. We have someone that wants to destroy us. We have someone that wants to take our peace. We have someone that wants no more than to see us fall and to fail and to live in defeat. He comes in different ways. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know, here Satan comes as a roaring lion, something that's obvious, something that you can see, prepare for possibly. And but he still says, be sober, be vigilant. Even though he comes in that form, he says we need to be careful, we need to be alert. We need to be sober. You know, we tend to fill our lives with so much stuff, and we want to have fun, we want to enjoy it. But he says, be sober, be prepared. And he says, your adversary, there's only one. It's the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about. And it's not like he just wants to tempt you. He says he wants to devour you. He wants to consume you. He wants your life to be defeated. And then if you turn to Ephesians quickly, and we'll turn to chapter 6 there, read verse 11 and 12. You see how large a... Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And it goes on, it says, take on the whole armor of God. Let's stop there. Think of Satan coming here. It's in a way that you and I cannot win. It's in a way that you and I cannot handle on our own. We do not understand how God and the spirits move around us and among us and in us. We don't understand that, but he says you need to prepare for that. He says put on the armor of God. And you think about that armor, what all it contains. You know, the military has all their equipment. They prepare for this. Those men train for years, some of them, for the job that they have. Some of them have specific jobs. Some of them are just training because in a chance that there is a war, and there was one. They were sent to war, and all that training was probably put to practice. You and I need to prepare for something like that. And he says, take on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And you think about that. We first read how he comes as a lion. He comes obviously. And second here, he comes deceptively. He comes quietly. He strikes maybe when we're not prepared, when we're not ready. He deals with our thoughts, the things that we're thinking. He tempts us. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And I'm not going to go into that. That's not what I was wanting to get out of there. But I want to think about those two ways there. He can come quietly and he can come loudly. But either way, we need to prepare. Both of those times that we read about there, it talks about preparing ourselves, getting ready for when he strikes. You know, America wasn't prepared for that. Those terrorists struck in a way that crippled the financial systems of America. And it brought so much fear to people's lives because they said, how could they do this? How could they get in and do that? You know, all the airports had their security systems. It wasn't very high because nothing had happened for many years that they were worried about. How did this happen? Many people were filled with fear. You and I need to be fearful of the devil. We need to think about that. We need to realize that he is there to get us. He is not there to just watch us and see what we do. He says, put on the whole armor of God. We need to prepare for that. And today I want to talk about some memorials, though. You and I, sometimes we need something that we can go back to. You know, on 9/11, on the anniversary of that date, many people go and they visit those sites, wherever there's some set up quite a few different, the states have different sites set up that you can go visit. And they want people to remember, to never forget what happened there. You and I sometimes need something to go back to and remember what God did for us, what God can do with a sinner, just like each one of us. None of us is above someone else. We all start at the bottom. We all start in sin, and it's only by God's grace, God's work in our lives, that we can be anything different. Sometimes we need to go back and look at that. And if you turn now to Joshua, many times in the Old Testament, God commanded the people to set up something because of a work he had done in their life. He said often they were to set up an altar so that they could do an offering there. But if we look at Joshua chapter 4, this one stood out to me, I guess, and there's many that we could have used. But I want to start reading at verse... Let's just start reading at verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, that the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took out 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. We'll stop there. I just want to look at this one because I often thought about, the Lord worked a mighty victory here in his people. They were up against the river here and didn't know how to get across. And if you go to the previous chapters and look at them, Joshua asking God how to work through this situation. And this is God's answer, and he shows him what to do. But God said, I want you to set up something. I want you to set up these stones here. He took a stone for every tribe, so 12 large stones, and set it where they spent that night after they had crossed. They had already experienced God's victory. They had experienced what his power could do. And he said, I want you to set them up. And he says, in verse 6, he said, your children are going to ask what this means. And then the answer they were to give after that. And that answer is very interesting, I thought. When you think about that, of God wanted them, to teach their children that he had done this work. It wasn't like the priests, because they were something a little bit better, that they had somehow done something mighty. He says, no, that I did a mighty work here for my people. I did this. And he wanted them to ask this question. He wants them to understand it too. And, as I thought about it, we as parents, our children ask us questions sometimes. They see things going on in the church, in our lives. Do we have answers for them? I just insert that now. We need to know what we believe. We need to teach them and pass it on, because it's important. And, they set up this memorial, and it was to be there forever. It was to be there lest they forget what God had done for them. And if you look at verse 21 of the same chapter, he says, And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until they were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." And that was the answer they were to give there. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. And I believe God makes his hand evident in many different ways. But God wanted this memorial set there so that people would see it. People would ask, what is the meaning? And they had a good answer to give. The Lord had done a mighty work. The Lord had delivered his people. When people look at our lives, it is like a memorial for Christ in a way, I believe. And I believe their question still comes to us many different ways, many different questions, I guess. But the question still rings down, you know, what is it for? What is the difference? And you and I's lives should be a memorial. It should show the difference. It should show us, and it should show the people that the hand of the Lord has changed that person. The hand of the Lord did a mighty work in his life. And he says that you might fear the Lord your God forever. I believe another memorial that we need to have in place is we all have the cross experience. And you know, sometimes we struggle with all the crosses we see hanging everywhere, standing, because we see that it doesn't affect people's lives. But that is a memorial you and I can go back to, because it's the cross experience that makes us different. It separates us, makes us a new person. And Mark 8, quickly look at a verse there. Mark 8, verse 34. "And when he called people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto him, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The cross of Christ is a symbol of suffering, a shame, rejection, so many different things. And as we think about this, this is Christ talking here. And he says we need to take up our cross. We need to take it up daily. It's something that we do. We come back to it and we start there, because there's no better starting point. There's no other point that we can start at and still come out right. We need to come back to the cross and start there. We need to allow God to change us. We need to allow Christ's shed blood to cleanse us, make us pure. And it's a memorial that people see so many times. And that memorial should be our changed life. They see that cross experience in each one of us. So many of us, we look at these temporal, can I say, everyday hardships as our cross. But I believe our cross needs to be a changed heart, a changed life, where these little things that bother us don't bother us so much, because we've been changed, we've been made new, or something different. And along with that, Hebrews 12, I'm going to jump around, look at a lot of things here, and you're welcome to turn if you want, but you don't need to. Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I guess as I was thinking about the cross experience in each of our lives, these verses came to me. I have them colored into my Bible because I believe they're precious. All the verses are, but these are very precious to me. And you think about that, Christ being our example. And, you know, think about going through life and the devil, as we talked about earlier, attacking us in many different ways. But he says, lay aside everything. The sin that can so easily beset us, deal with it, get rid of it. And he says, run with patience. We need to be careful. We need to allow Christ to show us, to be our roadmap. He talks about being an author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, he's the ending. He's the Alpha and Omega, it says in Revelations. And that means the beginning and ending, the one that starts, the one that finishes. And our story should start with Christ and end with Christ. Because if it doesn't, we have a broken life to deal with. And we look at Christ's cross here. Yes, it was not a, in many ways, the cross is not a beautiful picture when you think of it in man's own eyes. But when you look at what Christ did for each one of us, it becomes beautiful. We need to throw off the sin, and we need to run, we need to endure. If we go to Romans 12 quickly. And thinking of the cross, it also comes of sacrificial life. Excuse me. So many people gave their lives that day, doing their job, trying to help, to save people. And it's very, a lot of them are almost immortalized because of what they were doing. But when you read these verses, let's read them quickly. Starting at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I are called to be a sacrifice. We're called to be something other than what just ourselves, living for ourselves. You know, the natural man wants to do what we want to do. We want to do whatever feels good. We have so many goals. We have so many ideas that we think, and some are good even. But just like many gave their life as a sacrifice there, you and I are called to be a sacrifice. And he talks about a living sacrifice. And I like that thought, because a sacrifice to us often has the idea of death. And yes, it has that. But I like a living sacrifice. My ideas, my goals, my life is a living sacrifice. It is living in the sense that Christ, and I'm in his will. I'm doing what he wants me to do. And yes, it calls for separation sometimes, whatever it is. Separation from the world, separation from sin. And he talks about those many things in verse 2 there. And he says, our life may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you and I are called to be a living sacrifice. There needs to be life there, and yet we need to be dead to sin. We need to be dead to self. And as we jump now, I want to jump over to Joshua. And another point that I want to take from here, Joshua 1. We'll start reading at verse 5. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all thy law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to do the right hand, or turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And my mind went here as I thought about something we can go back to. And I've often read this passage, because Joshua was taken over after Moses' death. And that, to me, looks like a big job and a lot of stress and headache that came with that. And you look at God encouraging him here. And I like what he says, what he needs. He says, take the book of the law. He says, let it be part of you. Let it not depart out of thy mouth. It needs to be in us. He says, meditate therein day and night. You know, like those memorials that are set up that people can go back to and try to remember what happened there. You and I can have the book of the law as a memorial, but we can have it in us. It can be there every minute of the day. If we put it in our hearts, it will come out of us. It will fill us. And it'll be that memorial that we need. When we need a reminder of what God is doing or what God has done, think about His Word. Think about the things that we have done. And so many people were filled with so much fear after that, and they still are. The world is a fearful place. For many people, it is full of fear because they have no hope. They have no victory. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And that's a verse that is very precious to me. When you think about God being with us everywhere, anytime, that is something that we can take with us, that we can go back to. And then if you turn to Psalms chapter 1, a very common psalm, we've read it lots, but as I thought about His law, it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And you think about the godly man, what he does with his time, what he does when he is faced with a fearful situation, whatever it is. He says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. What a beautiful picture of a man after God's own heart, a man that is willing to take the time to study God's Word, to have it part of him, to fill his heart and mind and soul with God's direction. And then if we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I thought about these verses, and just recently they've meant a lot to me. Think about, I can go here for whatever I need. Whatever situation arises, God's Word can direct me. He can speak to me. He can speak through my brethren and all that. But, you know, if we have God's Word, we have His Scripture ingrained in our hearts and in our mind, it says we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. There's not going to be anything lacking. There will be no need to fear that what the devil could do, because we'll be prepared. We'll have it in us. The protection that God gives us can be in us and can be part of us. And there's no time, if we're prepared and have God's Word in us and part of us, there should be no time that the devil can hit us when we're not ready. Finally, the last couple of verses I want to look at here in Jude. And I found these as I was studying, and I kind of found it interesting because you don't hear much out of Jude, and I hadn't even, I probably heard them, but I hadn't thought about them very much. But I started reading verse 20, but it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. First of all, to build ourselves up, prepare ourselves. And when you look at what we're to do, he says, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know, it has the idea of preparing again. To have something that when the devil does attack us, we have something to go to. We're prepared. We're ready for this. We're not caught unawares. We're not like those many people that were going about their daily life and it hit them, some of them, without them knowing it. We need to prepare because the devil is watching for those times. He wants to strike at us through many different ways. We need to also, along with that, if we look at these verses, I believe we need to defend our faith. We need to, God doesn't need us to protect him, no, but he wants our lives to defend the faith. And what I mean by that is we as Christians are living lives that show and live what God asks us to do and calls us to. We are a changed people. We are made new. We are someone that when people see this, there's no question they realize he has been made different. Something has changed him. And it's not a question of whether or not he's partially right or partially wrong. They realize he has been made new. Our lives are to defend the faith and also to spread the faith, to show others the plan of salvation, to show others that there is a day of judgment coming. And I believe our lives need to be a testament of God's cleansing in us, or Christ's cleansing in our hearts, his power in us. Each one of us has changed people as a Christian, show what Christ's power can do. Each one of us, as we go through life, we're going through life just the same as it was 20 years ago when those people's lives were shattered and brought to a halt. You and I are the same way. We get up and we just expect things to go. We need to be a changed people. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared for what the devil can bring, because he goes about like a roaring lion, and he goes about as a prince of the power of the air, as a spirit to destroy us. And I don't mean to close on a sad note here. I believe it's a beautiful picture of what God can do. And as I thought about this, you know, many people went to visit those memorials, and I thought about the memorials we have. You think about the cross, think about a changed life. There's so many things that we could go to. God's Word, those things that we can go and fall back on, and they build us up, they lift us up out of whatever situation we are in. You and I have a memorial that is way beyond some beautiful little piece to go and look at some afternoon. It's something that is eternal, and that's what matters. As we go through life, let's not allow ourselves to ever forget that we're here to spread the word. We're here to defend the word and the faith. Let's have it part of us. May the Lord bless each of your lives this week.